We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is presented by Segra. Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And it's another Mountaineer Insider podcast here on MSN. Thanks for being with us. I'm Dan Zangrilli, and we have a whole lot coming up on today's show for you. We're going to get into a little Division I baseball talk. Could the season actually be pushed into the summer? The College World Series going into and almost through July? Well, it looks like it could be potentially picking up some steam. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on. And oh, by the way, if you are a season ticket holder or are considering becoming one, have you locked up your season tickets for the 2020 season? All the rhetoric, I think, is pointing towards a college football season. We here at West Virginia have had an opportunity to really lead with our leaders, not only on a local perspective, but also from a national perspective or a conference-wide perspective, with Director of Athletics Shane Lyons chairing the steering committee. And of course, Gordon Gee, our president, has one of the biggest voices in all of the game, and he has the ears and the respect of essentially every other university president across the country, let alone the Big 12. And, oh, yes, speaking of Dr. Gee, we will go ahead and talk to him here coming up in just a little while. And, oh, by the way, yep, those season tickets that I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to talk to Matt Wells, director of Senior Associate Athletic Director of External Affairs, coming up here in a moment to talk about why you want to lock up your season tickets and logistically why that could be a good investment for you, since we really don't know all the particulars of what is going to happen, how college football will be played in the fall. So some of those nuances are really important, and it could make your investment here, with the deadline coming up on June 1, being a really important one that you might look back on if you don't act and have a little regret. But first things first, folks, I guess the big step forward came with news earlier this week, with the NCAA approving the voluntary activities for football, basketball starting June 1. This moratorium that was in place for May 31 here is expiring sooner rather than later in the next week to 10 days. So there's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of announcements coming up here in just a moment. And how is that going to pertain to the Big 12 Conference? How is that going to impact the West Virginia University Mountaineers? And what will Morgantown look like in the coming weeks? I think it's all going to start speeding up very, very quickly. So that is all on the docket here. A conversation with Gordon Gee, Matt Wells stopping by, and I will break down what D1Baseball.com reported about the proposal that is really gaining traction and that a lot of prominent names in the game as far as head coaches are kicking around and what a plan could look like as early as 2022. So stay with us here on this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. It's all brought to you by our friends at Segra.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
Welcome back to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, an opportunity to chat with Dr. E. Gordon Gee earlier this week. A really interesting interview. Always time spent with Dr. Gee is worth your while. He is about as engaging as they come, and he's about as forward-thinking as they come. We're certainly very lucky to have him here as our president at West Virginia University. Obviously, the topic at hand is football, playing it, the importance of it, and how West Virginia can lead during this pandemic, not only from a statewide perspective, but on a national scale. And the Mountaineer Insider continues here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, all brought to you by our friends at Segra and the president at West Virginia University, Dr. Gee. Good to be with you. I hope you and all of yours are safe. I know you've been one of the busiest guys here in the state of West Virginia over the last 8 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a very busy time, but working from home, I joke about the fact that they have drones flying overhead to keep me out of trouble. But people think that even though the university has been shut down, so to speak, in talking with my colleagues and talking with people around the university, I think that people are busier than they've ever been, and a lot of that is due to the kind of planning and expectations of opening up in the fall.
So that's the plan, right? So that obviously helps the football aspect of things, and what you said last week we'll get to here in a moment, but you're planning to go full steam ahead to open up campus here in August for an on-time start, correct?
We are, and of course, that requires a lot of planning because it won't be a normal start. We have to deal with the realities of the fact that we've had this coronavirus. And with that existence, we want to make certain that our students, our faculty, our staff, that they're safe, that they have a safe environment to work in. So that's going to really require substantial planning and doing things differently than we've done in the past.
So I guess we took a big step forward here with football getting back up and running yesterday as the NCAA approved voluntary activities for football, basketball. That's going to start at the end of the month. There was that moratorium period, Dr. Gee, that was put on May 31st, and we'd cross that bridge when we got to it. Well, the bridge is coming. It looks like we've crossed it. We're going to start things back up, or at least getting to some form or fashion of normalcy. How important is this, number one? And secondly, how much do you support it?
Well, I support getting back into regular order. Absolutely, I think that the Big 12 Conference, of which we are a member, are looking about when we will actually have our startup time for our student athletes to be able to come back on campus. That determination has not yet been made. It'll probably be between June 1 and July 1. Maybe we'll split in half and be June 15th. I think that what they are saying, though, the NCAA, is the fact that their moratorium is lifted, and so institutions can start any time after that. I think because of the fact that we're members of a conference, the same as Penn State, the same as Pitt, our neighbors to the north, that the conferences will make a determination exactly when it's going to happen. But we're going to all do it about the same time and in the same way, I think.
Dr. Gee, how involved are you in these conversations? How much do other university leaders lean on you for your expertise? Because while nobody has ever been through anything like what we are experiencing right now, you have seen a lot and you have led through crises before. In other words, if I could ask you to not be so humble, how big is your voice in that room or on these conference calls?
That's an interesting question, whether anyone listens to me or not. But I think that the fact that I've seen almost everything. I haven't seen a pandemic, but I've seen almost everything. I try to be, I try to be a bit more philosophical, and the thing that I try to do the most is to get particularly some of my new colleagues to just realize that this too will pass. And so we can't panic and we can't let fear drive us. I tell everyone that I kind of view the world this way. I view it as a hammer and a dance. The hammer really was the fact that we shut down everything in this nation. But now we have to realize that there is a dance we're going to have to play because the coronavirus is going to be with us forever. We may have a vaccine, but remember, we have a vaccine for the flu, and 88,000 people died of the flu this year. We all have driver's licenses, yet 50,000 people died in automobile accidents. And so the dance part of it is we have to learn to safely dance with this thing, but not let it control us. If the pandemic controls us and we not control it, then we have lost against an unseen enemy. And that's the reason that what we're trying to do at the university, including with our football and our athletic programs, is make certain we're doing it in the right way, but also realizing that we're in unknown territory, but we can't approach it with fear. We've got to approach it with hope.
Is that what led you to say that college football will be played this fall when you mentioned that last week to some television stations in the state?
Yeah, I think we have to think nationally, and certainly in West Virginia, we have to think about the fact that we have another pandemic going on, which is the pandemic of fear and despair. We have to give people hope. We have to give them something to look forward to. I'm frankly equally afraid, if not more afraid, of the fact that the despair side of this equation is going to cause as much havoc and as much death or more death than the virus itself. So that's one of the reasons that I think it's important for us as a university, and particularly because we have such an important voice in this state, for us to be very committed to making a difference through the kinds of efforts that we're putting forward on behalf of our university and our state right now.
Yeah, and you do believe in your heart of hearts that we will be kicking off on time, and you feel very confident that a football season gets played. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. If you see me out there with a helmet on, then you'll know that I'm going to live with that prediction no matter what.
What position would you play? Are you a scat back? I mean, are you a slot receiver? I mean, do you are you one of the two high safeties? Where does Dr. Gee play on the gridiron?
Is there a position called scaredy cat? That's what I am. I don't know whether that one is available, but I will take that one up, my friend.
So football means what to West Virginia University, Dr. Gee?
Well, I think it is a way for us to do a number of things. One, it's a way for us to continue to engage our fans and our friends. It's a way for us to celebrate the achievements of our students, our student athletes, our band members, our cheerleaders. You know, we have a lot of very talented students who put their time and equity into this, and we need to make certain that we allow them the opportunity to do what they can do best. You know, we may have the Mountaineer mascot running around with a mask on, and we may all be wearing masks. It's fluid, but it's an opportunity for us, I think, to reach out to people both within the university and outside and say we're going to not be fearful. We're going to develop a strategy that allows us to move back into a more appropriate lifestyle, and also that we can make certain that the economics of this are very clearly outlined.
Yeah, and we can get into that in a little bit, but I was more curious about philosophy and opportunity that West Virginia University has during this pandemic. Obviously, you're one of the prominent leaders of higher education in the country. You've been on that Big 12 panel. You've led it among the presidents. But also, Shane Lyons, the athletic director at WVU, is chairing the football steering committee. So everything that is your vision and what you believe, West Virginia does have an opportunity, do they not, to be at the forefront of this, not only from a conference perspective, but maybe from an NCAA perspective to lead without that fear?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Shane is Shane's chairing the football committee. I'm fortunate. I serve on the college football playoff committee. You know, a number of our folks are serving on very important roles within college athletics. West Virginia plays a very important and a very critical role in terms of what is happening in terms of athletics in this country. And rightly so, because I think that we have always been a reasonable voice about what should happen. We're not a football team with the university attached to it. It's the other way around. We've always walked that middle ground, which I think is very important. By the way, you'll notice that we rank very high in terms of the APR, which is the scholastic and the academic side of our athletic programs. Three of our athletic programs are designated as among the best in the country in terms of APR, and so we're very happy about the fact that we've brought balance, and I think that that's a role that West Virginia should play nationally.
How confident are you, Dr. Gee, that people are on the same page? And when I say people, I mean other university presidents, other athletic directors across the country, because we've heard some hesitancy, if you will, from athletic directors like Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, Gene Smith at Ohio State. While he's trying to forge ahead, he's done so maybe with not as much gusto as you have and others have throughout the course of this pandemic here. Do you believe that there is a unification on how to go about this in a plan to return? And do you believe that there's an alignment there?
Well, I'm not certain there is an absolute alignment. I think everyone is desirous of doing this. I joke about the fact that most of the people who are making this decision have worked for me for some time or other, so I'm going to call them and cajole them. But saying that, I think that everyone is trying to be positively cautious, if I can put it that way. And I think there's wisdom in that, because the ebb and flow of what we're doing here. But I think the nation is moving toward opening up. I think universities are moving toward opening up. I think that our athletic programs are moving to opening up. And there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some challenges. But I believe that we're all moving in the same direction, if not at the same pace.
Well, Dr. Gee, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the insight. And on behalf of Mountaineer Nation, if I could thank you for the boldness in which you've been leading here over the last 8 weeks. It's been inspiring to see, and obviously it's gained a lot of traction, and it has a lot of folks in the Mountain State, quite frankly, and throughout Mountaineer Nation, fired up. And that's a good thing, because we haven't had much to be fired up over about in the last 8 weeks.
Yeah, well, let's go Mountaineers. We're very fortunate to have great coaches and great leadership in our athletic program, and very fortunate to be in a state in which people are supportive of the university. So it's our time to shine, and we will.
Coming up next, I'll chat with Senior Associate Athletic Director Matt Wells. When we return, season ticket deadline is fast approaching, and why this year's deadline is more important perhaps than any other in the past. If you're on the fence, whether you renew yours or you become a season ticket holder, I think you want to listen to this and the importance and the nuance involved here and why it is, again, such an important lesson. So those details will be forthcoming in just a while.
Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
Well, Matt, it's good to be with you. So an opportunity here for folks to get on board is everybody, I think, right now is planning to play football. So as far as season ticket deadlines, an opportunity here for folks coming up.
Absolutely, Dan, and thanks for having me, as always. You know, we do remain hopeful and optimistic about the prospects for football this fall, and are continuing to plan and be ready for that. So we did extend the football season ticket deadline from the original May 1st date to June 1. So within about 2 weeks of that deadline, and just want to remind fans, they still have an opportunity to purchase season tickets. I know the main question they have is what will happen if football season is impacted in some shape, form, or fashion. You know, and we'll absolutely work with our Mountain Athletic Club members and football season ticket holders on the appropriate make good if and when that time comes. But do encourage fans to come back on board, renew their season tickets, buy their season tickets, you know, on or around that June 1st priority deadline, and continue the process of getting ready for another exciting season of Mountaineer football.
And there really is a terrific opportunity here, Matt, isn't there? Because, you know, you know, not that it's great to buy things during a pandemic. Having said that, so much has changed in the last 70 to 75 days, and football season is further away than that, and things could certainly change for the better. So there really is a true opportunity for fans to have access to some seats that maybe they otherwise in past years didn't have. Do I have that right?
I think there is something to that, and I think you hit the nail on the head, and Shane has said this as well. You know, if you look back to from the time the basketball tournaments were canceled and that decision was made, it's been about 70 days, as you mentioned, and certainly a lot has changed during that time frame, and now we're roughly 100 days out from the start of football season, so there's certainly going to be a lot of changes with everything, you know, pandemic-related over the course of the next 100 days. So I think Mountaineer football and college football in general, I think, brings a ray of hope and a ray of light into people's lives and gives you something to look forward to. And while we do anticipate there will be, you know, some attrition because of the impact of the pandemic, we also are seeing that, you know, we're getting pretty good response as it relates to comparing 2 weeks before the deadline now to 2 weeks before the deadline in past years. It's hard to compare the year-to-date you know, comparison that we normally use, because May 21st on this season or this year looks a lot different than May 21st last year, because the deadline last year was May 1 versus a June 1 deadline. So what our data tells us, about 70% of our season tickets are purchased and renewed in those last 2 weeks before the deadline. So we'll have a lot better handle on that here in about 2, maybe 3 weeks. But I think there is an opportunity for fans to get on board, you know, to trust the climb and secure their seats to support the Mountaineers for when we return to the field this fall.
Yeah, especially that the department is providing the assurances here that that you'll work with folks in the event that something unforeseen happens. The rhetoric, I think, has been pretty positive surrounding football being played. I had an opportunity here to chat with Dr. Gee earlier on the podcast, Matt, and I know Shane has the opportunity here to lead the football steering committee. So West Virginia does have quite a bit of input, I think, with some prominent voices here in having the football season played. And I know that everybody is in the department working as if this thing is going to go on as planned. So I guess my question to you, Matt, is what are the responses that you've been getting from fans as it pertains to the tickets? And do you believe that there still is a good degree of consumer confidence, if you will?
I think so. As I mentioned, we've pivoted and started to make comparisons to different, benchmarks in terms of time before the deadline, 4 weeks before the deadline, 3 weeks before the deadline, 2 weeks before the deadline. And while we are down a little bit now that we've hit the 2 week, marker, we're not down significantly compared to the average of where we're at 2 weeks before the deadline over the past 12 to 15 years. So I think, again, a lot more will be known here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, but what we're hearing from fans, obviously we're hearing a lot of questions, and the main question is, well, what if football season is impacted, it's delayed, there's reduced capacity, and as I mentioned before, we will absolutely work with fans once we know what that potential impact looks like, but we've got a plan for things to go on as scheduled, and then also at the same time, parallel to that, be putting together contingency plans to be able to adjust and adapt accordingly. So, proper make goods, whether that's an opportunity for a refund, a credit to next year, et cetera, will be offered for those fans who have questions about that. But it's just impossible now to tell them what that will look like without knowing what the impacts will be. So we're working through the plan as normal, and also the contingencies to be ready to unveil those if and when the experts, the medical professionals, and everyone associated with the decision on the upcoming football season is able to say, here's how this is going to look. So right now things are positive. Numbers are tracking in a pretty decent spot compared to past years, and we hope to see that continue over the next 2 weeks.
And I don't want to ask a hypothetical question, but this is one. In some respects, Matt, as you know, you don't know what football season is going to look like if you're allowed 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 fans in there, whatever that number may be, if you're in a reduced capacity situation. I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong here for this assumption, that season ticket holders are going to get first crack, and they will be at the top of the pecking order to have access inside the stadium. So to be a season ticket holder and to purchase now, while it doesn't guarantee anything at this juncture, I would imagine it certainly increases the likelihood that you're a priority fan, if there is such a word.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, as we work through those contingencies, and we have a committee here inside the athletic department, April Messerly is leading that. Simon Dover, myself, and Steve Urias are also parts of that. And then we're putting together various subcommittees on what a return to campus looks like. And obviously return to campus for our staff, return to campus for our student athletes, and certainly return to campus or return to our venues for our spectators. And as we put those contingencies together, to be able to adjust and adapt once some more concrete direction is known, we will potentially have to say, okay, what does this look like at the various percentages you mentioned? And certainly we're going to take care of as many of our season ticket holders as we can. We certainly hope that we're able to take care of all of them. But that would be the first group, along with WVU students, along with player families, that would be accommodated to whatever degree we are able to accommodate spectators in venue.
Yeah, so the assurances that the university provides from a contingency or make-good standpoint, in other words, insuring your tickets, and I mean insure with an I, plus the benefits of being a season ticket holder, it really does make a lot of sense here over the next week to 10 days here to lock up those seats. Matt, I really appreciate the time, the insight, and appreciate all the hard work that you're doing on behalf of Mountaineer Nation, and we'll talk to you here soon.
All right, thank you, Dan, and I would remind fans, if they have questions about tickets, please give us a call at 1-800-WVU-GAME or shoot us an email at wvugame@mail.wvu.edu, and we will follow up and help walk them through all the situations with their tickets and any questions they may have.
That's Senior Associate Athletic Director Matt Wells. Directly ahead, all of the details from the D1Baseball.com report. I'll try to shrink it all down and make it an easy listen for you, because it certainly wasn't light reading. All of the Cliff Notes coming up and how the landscape of college baseball could be drastically changing if this picks up steam. So stay with us on the Mountaineer Insider. Trust the climb. West Virginia football is on the rise under Coach Neil Brown.
Ellinger pressure, Stills got him down. He sacked him. Darius Stills sacks Sam Ellinger.
Join us as we do battle against the Big 12 at Mountaineer Field and Milan Pushcar Stadium.
Deep downfield has a wide open receiver. The ball is caught into the end zone. Touchdown!
Season tickets for the 2020 season are on sale now at WVUGame.com or by calling 1-800-WVU-GAME.
Join the climb today.
Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary. Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
Welcome back to the Mountaineer Insider. So we've had a busy pod for you already. So how would you think a College World Series in mid-July would work, or the NCAA tournament beginning right before our nation's birthday? Well, a college baseball season beginning in the third week of March being pushed back and pushed into the summer actually could happen as early as 2022. Now, a lot of us here in West Virginia are not necessarily going to be blown away by this news or this proposal or this idea. Our head baseball coach, Randy Macy, has long been a proponent of extending the season and moving it into the summer and getting away from the cold weather February games where 26 people are in the stands and the snow is flying and the rain is spitting and it's 41 degrees outside. Nobody wants to attend that. And understandably so, the revenue that is not generated by the vast majority of baseball, which at the college level becomes essentially a cold weather sport, has really held the game back. And now that we are in the times that we are in, everybody is looking at something to do, to configure, to tweak, to try to save a penny here, a dollar there, or in many cases, a few $100,000. And what was put forth here by a panel of really, really, actually world-renowned coaches at the college level and co-signed on by a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon, Dr. James Andrews. If you know anything about baseball, you know he's the Tommy John surgery guy. Everybody has gone to him to get their elbow cut, and he has extended the shelf life of many, many a pitcher. Well, he's in favor of this. And again, D1Baseball.com if you want to read it in its entirety. But you've got some big-name coaches, like, say, for instance, Josh Holliday from Oklahoma State, East Carolina's Cliff Godwin is on there, and you've got the guys from LSU, from Vanderbilt, Coach Corwin for the Vandy boys are all essentially signing off on this. Now, listen, it's just an idea. But this idea is starting to gain traction. The idea that you remember when Randy's comments went viral last year, essentially throwing out a proposal that would have college baseball go into the summer. Well, a lot of coaches at that time, maybe a year ago, were not all on board with this. But since we've had a pandemic and now everybody has had to change their way of thinking, we've found that a lot of people are more, let's say, amenable to some of these ideas. You know, you don't want your baseball program cut, right? Bowling Green, unfortunately, has had to do away with theirs. Furman, unfortunately, has had to do away with theirs. But Mays has been a very, very aggressive with his scheduling approach and has made some very, very good points, but in the past, again, met with significant resistance from the coaching community and went by the wayside. Well, now it actually looks like a pretty good idea. Now, once you get some bigger names, you know, behind this from the standpoint of college coaches are concerned, it looks like this could maybe gain a little traction. Now, long way to go. This is not even on the desk of athletic directors, so I don't want to misrepresent anything along these lines, but the idea, again, picking up steam. So what kind of was thrown out here, the proposal, a three-part proposal, which would be, first and foremost, and above all right now, the financial sustainability of it. Secondly, how would this work academically? And thirdly, about student welfare, student-athlete welfare. You have to check all three boxes if you really want anything like this to get off the ground. Well, when you look at some of the details in A, B, and C, the financial sustainability, the academic portion of it, and the student-athlete welfare sector of it, it looks like things actually might not be all that far-fetched here of an idea. And then you compound what Major League Baseball is going through. They're tripping over their own 2 feet with Major League Baseball Players Association, along with the owners. Who knows if a season will be played this year? They also have an expiring CBA at the end of the 2021 season, so they could be headed for some sort of stalemate or lockout. Minor League Baseball is largely going to be changed. Many teams over 60 are on a contraction list, and the dynamic of that entire league is very much up in the air. So can college baseball come in and seize the moment and plant a flag there and really fill a gap that could be quite plausible here for not only the major league level, but the minor league level as well. Well, yep, enter college baseball. So essentially what it is extending the season a little bit and pushing it back from the standpoint of the start time. So here is what they've proposed for a 2022 sample season. So you have a longer ramp-up period, number one. You don't just sort of pick up a baseball, start chucking it, and then a couple of weeks later you get going. So what college baseball coaches on this panel would like to see, from January 15th through February 10th, you have a four-week period where you get into the warm-ups, especially for the pitchers, are concerned. So you slowly ramp into it. February 11th to March 18th, you go into a 20-hour-a-week period where you can work out, and then the season will begin on March 18th. So instead of starting this thing in mid-February, you're pushing it back to the third week of March. A 14-week season where conference tournaments then would be played in mid to late June. The 22nd to 26th, you've got conference tournament play. Selection show is June 27th, and then the first week of July, the first 4 days of July, you have the NCAA regionals. Imagine that, 4th of July, and you host a regional in Morgantown. Would that be nuts? July 8th through 10, you've got the NCAA Super Regionals, and then the College World Series would begin July 15th. The National Championship Series is done by July 25th. Easy peasy, right? Well, not so much. But the thing that actually could have this pick up steam is the fact that the Northern schools would save a ton of money. The coaches, I think, did a really good job here of appealing to the athletic director's heartstrings, and that is the travel budget. With Northern teams, West Virginia being one of them, that are largely on the road for the first month of the season, that is costly. A 5-year average of costs A lot of these northern schools, the architects estimated that the first 4 weeks of the season would be nearly $250,000, $232,000 over that for the 4 weeks. That's mostly commercial airline travel. You get into the hotels and things of that nature. That's going to be, I think, the impetus of getting this thing off the ground. Also, you look at generating more revenue. Number one, you look at the attendance figures. Everybody that hosted a regional, the 16 teams in 2019, all had really woeful attendance in February and March. And you see a dramatic hockey stick and increase in April, May, and June. It's pretty much common sense. Warmer weather, people want to be out at the ballpark, school is out. You put more butts in seats, you're selling more hot dogs, you're selling more beer, you're selling more merchandise. That's all good for the schools. So if you can save a little money, you can make a little more money. All of a sudden, baseball, from an economic standpoint, looks a lot different. And now you take the student-athlete part of the equation and you look at how you take classes out of the equation for a good chunk of the season as opposed to guys trying to do study halls on the road while on a bus to go to Coastal Carolina. You're likely going to see an improvement in academic performance from the student-athletes if the season doesn't start in February. And from a welfare perspective, what I think is really interesting about this whole deal is that Dr. James Andrews has co-signed and said, quote, "This proposal is a no-brainer. From an orthopedic surgeon's perspective, I can't see anyone who would argue not to follow this proposal." That's one of the most prolific names, I think, in all of the game of baseball. And he is able to point to some data here. And this is at all levels of baseball, college on up. The vast majority of setbacks from an injury perspective occur within the first 50 days of preparation time. So if you add a longer ramp-up schedule at the front end in January and February, and you're not playing baseball until you're into some warmer climates by the third week of March, you've got the student-athlete welfare in a much, much better spot. The downside of this, there are some potential extra expenditures that this proposal would have to, well, not only mitigate, but then make up and then some. So you add more games, you're going to add more expenses. You look at some weekend series. You look at the cost of housing these student-athletes over the summer. That could range anywhere from, you know, the $60,000 to $75,000 range per the D1Baseball.com article. It's fascinating. Those are the cliff notes, maybe a little longer than I wanted them to be, but nonetheless, it's very good reading if you're a college baseball fan and if you want to take maybe a look-see into the future as what things could be looking like in Morgantown in 2022. I highly recommend it. Well, that'll do it for us here on this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Special thanks to all of our guests for stopping by, the president of West Virginia University, Dr. E. Gordon Gee, and senior associate athletic director of external affairs, Matt Wells. Be sure to get your tickets before that June 1 deadline. Until then, stay safe, everyone. Hail West Virginia. I'm Dan Zang, really reminding you to follow us on Twitter at WVU MSN. Subscribe, like the podcast. If you could rate it, leave us a nice review. If you'd be so kind, help us climb that ladder so we could spread the old golden blue message all throughout the land. Talk to you next time right here on the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. The Mountaineer Insider has been presented exclusively by Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.